What's up, founders, and welcome to the In Demand podcast, where we talk all about how to troubleshoot growth for your PLG SaaS. I'm your co-host, Asia Arangio, the CEO and founder of Demand Maven.
And I'm Kim Talarczyk, client services manager at Demand Maven, where we help SaaS companies reach their toughest growth milestones.
All right, Kim, let's get into it.
Hey, Asia.
Hey, what's up?
Not much. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I've got my coffee. So I mostly drink decaf. We've talked about this. I mostly drink decaf coffee. My caffeine these days is matcha, but this decaf coffee is extremely bitter and it curdles any creamer you put into it.
Oh.
And it, so I, yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't do that.
An amazing opening. But literally every time I pick it up, I'm like, oh, that looks so bad. But it actually is really tasty, even though it is terrible looking. But I keep forgetting not to put creamer into it. So that's how my day is going.
Oh, nice. Good to know. Thanks for sharing your coffee intake. I just stay away from decaf. It's just caffeine only.
I'm impressed by people who can only drink. Like they never touch decaf. It's only caffeine. I'm impressed. I'm like low-key kind of jealous.
Yeah, I just figure why drink it if it's decaffeinated? I just won't drink coffee.
So it's funny because every time someone says that in my mind, I'm like screaming in thyroid problems. I'm like, man, I guess people just don't have thyroid issues these days. But yeah, caffeine can literally keep me up all week. And so I have to be really careful. But
yeah, that's good. We don't need a overtired.
Oh my God. Asia. I would be unbearable. Very cranky. But yeah.
Okay, so there's something that we were talking about a little bit this week that I would love you to dive into a little bit more for our listeners. Mm-hmm. And typically, I think we've seen it working with founders of SaaS companies. And it's when their product, they built a product with a certain audience in mind, and they're typically passionate about it and passionate about who they want to sell this to. And as the product evolves, things start to change a little bit, and other users that they kind of weren't thinking of are now attracted to this product. And, you know, obviously then there either needs to be like expansion or pivoting that happens and opening the product to new audiences. And so I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this, because it's a topic that we've discussed. And yeah, it's more, let's make people aware of this. We've seen it happen with solo founders, especially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really, it's this tension that happens when a founder has a vision for the product of going in a particular direction. But while the founder is zigging, the product and the market are actually zagging. And so there's this tension because what the founder wants to build is different than what the product wants to do. And we've seen this tension several times in the course of Demand Maven history of working with over 100 founders and teams. And usually we see this in the solo crowd, bootstrap solo founders especially, because they may not have a partner or someone to kind of resolve this tension in the business. But it's like an internal conflict that happens that we see all the time. And when it comes to troubleshooting growth and supporting the marketing function and supporting the product function and supporting go-to-market in general, if we don't resolve this conflict, it's going to rear its ugly head as ultimately a complete and total lack of focus.
Yeah. What does that look like when the product wants to do something different than what the founder wants?
Great question. Okay, so I'll do my best to give examples without being too specific, because obviously we want to preserve anonymity. So there are a couple of examples that I can think of, historically speaking, for us at least. But once upon a time, there was a founder built a product, we'll say generally in the productivity space. And originally, the founder built that product for themselves, because when they were in-house in that role, they wanted something like this. A classic, you know, classic story. And that's not a bad way to build, honestly.
Yeah, they're solving their own problem.
They're solving their own problem. There likely are others with it. But we want to be strategic, obviously, and maximize the amount of market that we can reasonably service. So this founder built this product in the productivity space. And at first, attracted customers exactly like them. And it was great. But then over time, the customer base grew so much so that there was suddenly a new segment, a much larger segment of customer that kind of swallowed up the original segment. And not in a bad way, in a very productive, growing kind of way. But the founder was in constant conflict internally from a personal internal perspective because they started this company with that original type of customer in mind. But that type of customer from a market perspective was kind of dwindling. Like that context wasn't happening as consistently or as often in the market as much anymore. So we see this whenever roles kind of die, so to speak. Like there are just certain roles and contexts that just don't exist anymore because businesses changed, context shift, team makeup or team structure, industries change. I mean, you know, automation and technology change things. That like part of the market is dwindling. Meanwhile, there's this other segment. We'll call it segment B. Segment A is where the founder started, but segment B is huge and growing and overtaking segment A from like a customer base perspective. But the founder is torn because like truly torn because the passion was for segment A and not for segment B. And so in order for this business to stay alive, they're probably going to have to shift towards really marketing and acquiring and focusing on segment B. But the founder isn't really passionate about that. And also is like emotionally fraught because like, what do you do?
And is it also that the founder didn't know as much about segment B?
I think that was part of it. But what was interesting was, and not to say that we solved this, because while we are certainly catalysts and change agents, you know, this is not like a promise necessarily, but it was a surprising outcome. But it was interesting because when we actually supported this founder in doing the research about segment B, they actually discovered that they had a lot more in common. And the founder did actually generate a little bit of passion for segment B because they learned more about them. And they were like, oh, actually, I see myself in this. And that's not to say that this founder like whole hog jumped on segment B and everything was hunky-dory and wonderful and amazing. There was still a lot of like emotional thrashing internally. But this is a problem and a conflict that I see holding a lot of especially bootstrap solo founders back. And also especially if they don't have teams, like they don't necessarily have a head of product or a head of marketing or a head of growth or a co-founder. Usually I see this most often in solo bootstrap founders with really small teams, like maybe a handful of engineers, maybe a project manager, maybe a support or customer success person, but not really anybody else on the go-to-market side, more on the product side.
So is it that the founders in the small team environment aren't recognizing this tension?
You know, it's funny because I think as I describe it, I bet a lot of founders can relate to this, where they've been in a position where the product really wants to go down this road, but they really want to go down a different road. And it's really tough to make it make sense. But I will say, though, I think while a lot of founders have experienced this, many of them figure it out. Like many of them figure out either the compromise or they make peace with, okay, if there is a trade-off to me going the route that I want to go and making peace with that trade-off or going the route of where the product wants to go. And usually those are businesses that, not to say that like they grow more faster than the ones that, you know, the founder really sticks to their guns and they're like, I'm going to stay down this path. But it is a different journey where the founder, I find, tends to be more passionate about the business process and the business and the business building process more than sticking to their vision. But there are trade-offs to both. And like at some point, you will either have to recognize that tension or resolve it in some kind of way. Otherwise, if you don't, it will, one, you'll continue to emotionally thrash about this. It'll continue to be stressful and you'll continue to be constantly in conflict. But two, as you grow and build your team, it's going to be confusing as hell for anybody who's, say, 90% of our customers are this. And it's clearly profitable and clearly like there's a lot of momentum here, but is in direct conflict with the founder's vision for where they want to go. And so like at some point, that's going to be confusing for like your team. So you'll have to resolve it at some point. And it is hard. But I want to be careful here because I don't want people to think that what I'm saying is like, if 90% of your base is this like low paying, low value, churning customer, low retention, low LTV, that like you should stick with those people because that's what your product wants to do. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, what happens when your product does acquire a segment that great LTV, great retention rates, super profitable, excited, energized by what you're doing, but they are not at all who you want to serve? Or the product that you would have to build in order to make those people continue to be happy is not something that you're excited about. There's another example of this. We worked with a company last year and a little bit into this year, but we worked with a company last year where the founder was in, we'll call it like generally the HR space, and very horizontal product. They had several big segments. And it was interesting because some of those segments, they had a lot of energy and passion and great customers. But each of the top three segments, each of those segments were different enough where if you really wanted to make one particular segment happy, you would have to build a fundamentally different product than like segment B or segment C. So let's say segment A is a particular type of segment. It's relatively unique in its own vertical, but like what they want is somewhat diametrically opposed to what segment C wants. And segment B is like out on its own island, like doing its own thing. And like to make them really happy, you'd have to, you know, go in another direction. And it was really interesting because the founders in this particular scenario probably, they absolutely are feeling the tension of this, because they ultimately have to expand the product in some kind of way. But the question is, which direction do you go when each of these paths have trade-offs? And also, one founder isn't excited about segment A, or at least building for segment A. But the other founder doesn't really mind. We got to build what we got to build to, you know, continue to grow our business. If we're not growing, we're probably dying. So, you know, and it's really interesting because that is a known tension that they have. So they're aware of this and they understand and are cognizant of the fact that like at some point this is going to converge and we're going to have to make some decisions strategically. Otherwise, we're going to kind of continue to be spread thin across all of these potential like customer markets. And it's going to be really hard to continue to compete in this space by being so horizontal and I don't want to say generic, but you really can't be everything to all people. So
right.
at some point, you've really got to pick two to three and I don't want to say niche, but focus your energy and focus your and prioritize and structure how you think about product roadmap and product building. But it's tough. It's really tough. And again, like I'm not at all suggesting that, you know, if 90% of your customer base is this something that's maybe lower quality or not paying as much, that you go that route. And I'm not saying that. I'm saying more like what happens when, again, it's almost like you versus the product in a way.
And it sounds like you're saying is the first step is recognizing that tension, especially from the founder. So if they're, to the example you just gave, sounds like the founder initially solved this problem by saying, we can solve this problem for all these people.
Yeah.
If there's opportunity then to focus in certain areas, there could be tension because the initial thought that the founders had was we wanted to be this to all people. Is that what you're saying? And then what does that look like when you're trying to recognize that as a founder? And then
now
what are some of the next steps?
Yeah, it's funny because in a way I kind of feel like Demand Maven has actually experienced some of this. Even though we're services, we still experience some of the same challenges, even that product companies do, because it's still a business.
Yeah,
it's interesting because I think like when I think about Demand Maven and what we did there, we have always kind of just, and this is by design, we've gone with the flow with where the market has been at any given point. I think when I've recognized the tension, and I've certainly had moments, I think for me, the next step, really, like, you have to decide. There are a couple of decisions you have to make. The first is you really have to be aware of what the trade-offs are and also what are the options that you're actually thrashing about. So, for example, there was a founder who we worked with once, and a pair of co-founders, actually. This product was in the, I guess it was in the marketing space, marketing industry, but global customer base. And what they were thrashing about internally was one of the founders really, again, didn't care like where they went. They just wanted to make sure that, you know, team is taken care of, we're making money, everything's profitable. They don't necessarily have like specific requirements around what type of business. But the other founder was really torn because they had a very specific vision and they wanted to go in this general area, but that wasn't necessarily what the product wanted to do. And I think it literally was like one founder really wanted to focus on a particular geographic region. The other founder didn't really care as much, or at least I don't want to say they didn't care, but it was just more of it didn't have as much of a precedent for them to decide one way or the other. And so the tension that one of the founders at least was feeling was, do we focus on a specific geographic region or do we just kind of own that we're global? And that really scared them because they're a small company and being global so early feels very scary. Like it's already hard to wrap your arms around, you know, early stage PLG SaaS. Wrapping your arms around that and the world, it feels insurmountable. But it was interesting because we recognized that tension together. And one of the points that I made was, or at least one of the encouragements I should say, was each of these options have trade-offs. And part of the thrashing is honestly, it might just be that we don't actually understand, one, what the trade-offs are, but two, what the opportunities actually are. So like you're considering, like you're seeing path A and path B, but actually there's path A.1, path A.2, and path A.3. And there are actually many iterations of path A, and there are many iterations of path B. And there are probably others that we can't even see yet because we just don't know what we don't know. Like those are known unknowns. We don't know. But once you actually start thinking about, okay, what are all the options and what are all the trade-offs? You start to make peace with some and you start to, you know, violently reject others. Okay, like these paths, probably not for us. But these paths, don't think I'd be mad about. But each of these come with trade-offs. And then you have to make peace with what those trade-offs are. And there isn't a right or wrong answer for this. And I want to make that clear too, because again, I really just want to make sure that founders are aware that this tension internally exists and that they ultimately decide and make peace with whatever path they decide to choose. But you are going to have to make peace if you want to move forward. And I think that that's really the message, because otherwise, again, it's just going to create further tension and further issues. But I think like the peacemaking process, and I'll say this again, there is no right or wrong path here. This tension is natural. It likely will happen in your organization. But peace to me is radical acceptance. And every time there's doubt, reminding yourself of that radical acceptance. And you can always change your mind. And I think that's also the part too that I think sometimes founders forget about, which decisions are mutable. You can reverse a decision. Job roles are rescinded sometimes upon receipt. Like mm-hmm. People change their minds. You can too. And so you can commit to a path and then pivot if you want. Will it be expensive? Yes. But like, I think like sometimes we also forget that like you can commit to something and then change your mind later. Happens all the time. Happens all the time.
Right.
Sometimes very publicly.
Yeah. And the important part being, make sure the vision that you have aligns with what the product and users are actually doing before you get too big.
I've seen this also. And sometimes this is easier said than done. I mean, sometimes like it sneaks up on you, but we've seen this as well, where the organization is huge, hundreds, thousands of employees, but where the CEO and executive level is taking it versus where the market wants that product to go. Sometimes they're totally diametrically opposed. Again, this is rarer because only so many companies become so big. But yeah, no, it almost requires like a huge come to Jesus moment about, you know, where are we really going and who are we really and who are our customers actually? And I think, again, and there's really no wrong answer. You know, we've seen companies like Basecamp, for example, complete and totally reject the status quo where users want this product to go in this direction. But the leaders and the powers that be at that company have said, no, this is who we are and this is where we're going. We've seen something kind of similar at companies like Intercom very publicly. So that's why I feel comfortable, you know, talking about this. But like, we've seen similar scenarios like this in organizations, Basecamp and Intercom. But I think what's important is that's not to say that those were the wrong choices. You know, Intercom going down the path that it's chosen, Basecamp going the path that it's chosen, Zendesk, Freshworks, et cetera, they all, like, those are all known, relatively known risks and very real trade-offs, but generally speaking, making peace with where they want to go, who they are, sometimes despite their customer base.
And it's deliberate.
It's deliberate. It's a commitment. But I would so much rather see founders and CEOs and leaders make a commitment than to not and to continue thrashing. Because that is how you low-key die. Like, genuinely speaking, we talk about the long, slow SaaS ramp of death all the time. I've talked about it a million times in a lot of my talks. But one of the ways that you get there is that exact lack of commitment to any path, whether you finger quotes say it's wrong. And I say finger quotes wrong all the time, too, because I think sometimes bootstrap founders forget that, like, they can literally do whatever they want. If you're a bootstrap founder and you don't have a VC to answer to, you can do whatever you want. You don't have to grow, but you also don't have to, just sit around and do nothing either. Like, you don't have to become an efficient business, but if that's important to you, great. You can hire partners like Demand Maven to help you do that. You know what I'm saying? So I think, you look at a company like Basecamp, or even I think GrooveHQ was also bootstrapped, if I'm not mistaken. But you look at companies like that, and Basecamp doesn't have VCs. Basecamp can literally do whatever it wants. But the fact that, like, they've committed to a path, I think is worthy of at least some respect. I don't love all the decisions they've ever made, but, like, that at least warrants some respect in some kind of way. But it's the commitment that I think is important. Whether it's right or wrong doesn't really matter, because bootstrap founders can do whatever the hell they want. That's kind of the point. I think if you're VC funded, a little bit of a different story. You probably do need to, and possibly even indie funded to some extent, but you probably do need to have a much closer eye on the direction that you're headed, around the customer base that you're reasonably attracting. If you're VC funded, you're probably seeking an exit of some kind at some point to give a return to those VCs. So you probably do need to follow the white rabbit a little bit on that. But I think when it comes to bootstrapped, it is different, because you can do whatever you want. But one thing I will not accept, at least as a strategic advisor, is we can't thrash forever. Like, we do have to make peace, make a commitment, acknowledge the trade-offs, and go. Otherwise, right. We're stuck.
Yeah. And we've seen people thrash. You've talked about it before to me. Is it sometimes because the founder doesn't want to make a decision? Or what's getting them stuck?
Yeah. What gets them stuck? What does it look like? Oh, man, there are so many things that it could be. I've joked before that, the first marketer you ever hire is kind of like your first therapist. Because who's really asking those questions but marketers and people who are like researchers? Researchers are asking those questions. What I've observed is it can be anything from an emotional attachment to an idea. Sometimes it's an emotional attachment to a perception of self. Sometimes it's very ego-based, but not like in the ego, but this is who I see myself as. And sometimes that the tension just happens to be, I've always seen myself as the founder of a developer-based company selling to developers, but you're attracting this other base of like BI analysts, and you're like, oh, I mean, they're not developers, but they're not developers. So it's, I guess I saw myself as this, but actually.
Yeah, you're not separating yourself from the product.
And also maybe a little bit like, you haven't had the spiritual awakening yet of your identity.
Yeah.
What identity really is. So I've seen that, but I've also seen there's an emotional attachment maybe to the team that we've built that's servicing this particular part of the business or product or what have you. And changing means sacrificing those people in some kind of way. That might not actually be true, though. So this is kind of where it's like your mind might be playing tricks on you. Sometimes we work with founders and all we're doing is myth busting, or all we're doing is reframing problems because they're seeing it maybe one way, but actually it's presenting maybe more truthfully in an objective way. And so, it's so hard to pinpoint exact examples here, but again, without giving away all the context. But yeah, but I also think because a lot of this is emotional and internal, and not to say emotional isn't a bad way, but it is emotions. And I think like we would be wise to acknowledge that. These are not logical things, because if it were up to the, if it were truly logical, you know, they're like, we would make decisions very differently.
And it would be easy.
Yeah, I would like to think that. But sometimes it's also like contextual discomfort, another emotion. But there's also fear. I mean, a lot of these are like maybe the founder is uncomfortable because they don't know, they don't understand, they're not aware. Or it's, you know, I don't understand what it looks like to target segment A, or I don't understand what it looks like to build product B, or I don't. And so that's scary. And so we hold back a little bit because, again, we just don't understand like all the details of that quite yet. There's uncomfort or discomfort, I should say. So, I mean, yeah, like there are all kinds of potential things that pop up, certainly insecurity. I mean, I don't think it's a bad thing to discuss as founders and CEOs. Like we have insecurities. There are things we're weaker at that we don't want people to see. We have shadows that, you know, maybe we haven't overcome quite yet. And all of those things can kind of get in the way of, I don't even want to say objective thinking, but all of those can get in the way of a healthy, productive journey in your entrepreneurial livelihood. And that's not even the exhaustive list. Like, I'm sure if I kept thinking, I could think of more. Oh, yeah, well, we've encountered this. And it's easy to observe, I think, once you're aware of it. But if you're not ever aware of it, you may never make progress. So I really do hope, though, that this conversation is freeing for some because of how often we've seen it. And also not even just how often we've observed it, but also how often we've seen it hold people back. And what I really get hung up about is like it kills me to think that there are founders out there, especially bootstrapped ones, who have been stuck for 3 to 4 years or more in a particular cycle purely because they've just been thrashing and like internally thrashing emotionally about where they should go and how they should go about it, because it's like they're almost like fighting their product in a way. But at the same time, any conflict can and should be resolved in some way. And I think that conflict can't go on forever. It's draining as hell and you've got to resolve it. So I encourage anyone listening, if you're feeling this right now, to spend the time to really think about it and to really turn over every stone here and to make peace. Because
do some self-reflection, think about what's causing the tension.
Yeah.
Why it exists.
This reminds me actually of a great resource. Dr. Sherry Walling is, for everyone who knows Rob Walling and from the MicroConf crowd, obviously Rob's wife. But Dr. Sherry Walling is, I think, a great resource to look to. I am not a licensed therapist. I am not a clinical psychologist. I am not going to be the person for you to talk to about this kind of thing, at least in the context of, can you help me figure that out? I think a therapist and or like a business coach or executive coach would be a great person. But if it's in the context of growth, happy to have those conversations. But otherwise, I would highly recommend Dr. Sherry Walling and her resources. I'm sure we could link to a few below. But she actually does talk a lot about not just like the I don't know if she talks as much about like the thrashing between you and your product. But I know for a fact that she talks a lot about emotional awareness building and also just processing some of the emotions around being a founder and being a CEO. And she has some great resources for founders, some excellent books as well. So highly recommend looking at her stuff.
Cool. Thanks, Asia.
Thank you. Did we cover everything?
I think so.
I think if I had to leave everything with a few tidbits, whatever that internal conflict is, let's just make sure we spend some time understanding it. And again, if you're bootstrapped, you can literally do whatever you want, but there are going to be trade-offs. And I think as long as you're okay with those trade-offs, you can make peace, you can resolve it. You don't have to go in the direction that your product wants you to go. But again, we have to be aware and cognizant of making that commitment. If we never commit, we're going to continue to thrash and it's going to continue to be a mess. And I just don't want to see people stuck for forever. But I think by being aware of it and committing to a path, acknowledging those trade-offs, and I think that is a much, much healthier way to go.
Yeah. And you don't want this to be the reason that people are stalling their growth.
100%.
Don't let this be the reason.
Because this, and this is the other thing too, is I think people underestimate how much our own emotions and egos get in the way of growing your own company. And yeah, this is a podcast about being in demand and growing. But if you're a solo founder, it's down to you. It's you.
Right.
You're the man now, dog. So if it ends and starts with you, we've got to make sure you're okay. And also that you're aware. And sometimes hiring a provider like us is that catalyst. We're I don't want to say we're like the ass kickers, but in a way, we're kind of kicking your ass a little bit to be like, why are we thrashing about this? What's really going on? Is that just a cognitive distortion that we have? Or is that, no, that's a real choice we have to make. So anyway, I digress.
And it's an outsider's perspective.
It's true. It is that can also help a lot. But yeah, all that to say, thanks again for listening. And thank you, Kim.
Yeah, thanks, everyone.